Today on An Hour to Give, we're going to be talking about Brain Canada. And I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Vivian Poupon, President and CEO of Brain Canada. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Well, I really want to know more about this organization. This is an organization that is new to me, but I'm absolutely fascinated. Tell our listeners what Brain Canada does.
Okay, so Brain Canada is a national charitable organization that was founded over 20 years ago. And our vision is really to understand the brain in health and in illness in order to improve lives and to have a positive impact on society. And so how do we do it? We have some main area of focus, which are fundraising, but mainly funding research and strengthening the brain research community. So we fund brain research at all stages, from basic to clinical research and into all kinds of brain disorders, from Alzheimer's, Parkinson's to brain cancer and mental health, to name a few. And so since its founding more than two decades ago, Brain Canada has really played a leadership role in changing the way researchers work to be more interdisciplinary, more diverse and inclusive, more coordinated and collaborative. And our strategy has been to look at the brain as a single complex system and to search for common mechanisms that could influence various brain diseases. And by looking at the brain as one system, it really underscored the need for collaboration. And that's what we've been doing. And now we really help the research community to be well-placed, to work together towards that collective goal, which is to improve health outcomes for Canadians with brain disorders.
It is absolutely fascinating. That funding for research is so important. Walk us through some of the funding that you're requiring right now for research.
I totally agree with you that funding for brain research is important and critical. And why is that? The brain is the most important organ in our body, and it really determines how we think, how we feel, and who we are. And when a brain is damaged from disease or injury, the impact can be devastating on the person affected, but also on the family surrounding that person. And so the brain is also the most complex organ in our body. It has billions of neurons, trillions of connections. It's a very complex anatomy, has limited access to the organ itself, and we're really at the beginning of understanding how it works. And while there has been many breakthroughs in recent years, researchers still have a long way to finally unravel the mysteries of the brain. It's basically still a black box, and we need to know more. We need to fund more brain research, and that's what we do. You know, we really put an emphasis on the continuum of research from the very basic understanding of what happens in the brain to, you know, when your smell is triggered, when your vision is triggered, to what goes wrong in an individual when a normal mechanism stops working and you end up in a process of neurodegeneration, for example, leading later to an acute disease that can be very devastating, such as ALS, Parkinson, or Alzheimer. And we really want to, as I said, understand the way the brain functions, the way the disease starts, so that we can actually alter the course of the disease. And if we want to not only treat symptoms, but really reverse the course of the disease, it comes with understanding that black box I was referring to earlier. And so that's what we do. We fund teams of researchers. We fund new brilliant investigators that are very promising. I know you're talking with one of the researchers we're supporting, Sarah Tremblay, today. And we also support the community, the research community, through what we call the platform programs, which are really a way to build research capacity, not only within an institution, but to share it within the country.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. And, you know, we sort of talk about, like you mentioned, brain injuries, of course, brain disease, and then, of course, mental health. I think about those brain injuries, and I think about the change we've even seen in the last decade around concussions. We know how dangerous those are. Is that part of the research at all?
Absolutely. That's part of the research we fund. And so that's, you know, once again, is what we really want, the message that is important is to understand what happens when a concussion happens, so that we really realize that even for kids or young adults playing sports, there's actually some consequences, but also the research that helped disseminate that knowledge to the clinicians, the parents, the coaches, so that they actually realize that concussion is something important, they need to be cautious, and they need to adapt the way they function, and not only the way you treat concussion, but the way you prevent concussion. It's very important for the youngs in a sporting team to prevent it as much as possible.
This has been such a challenging time, Dr. Poupon, for so many people during COVID-19. How has this time impacted Brain Canada?
So for us, I think it highlighted even more the need to help in that very important area of brain research, that is mental health research. We need to have a more better knowledge of the brain. I think we all felt, all of a sudden, there was a common realization of, oh, easy it can be for someone to feel anxiety, to feel depression, that it's not something that is in your control. And that sentiment, I think, can actually be very helpful into removing the stigma around mental health, because you wouldn't say to a diabetic to just get better. You know what drives diabetes. You studied it at school. You know about insulin. So why do we act differently with someone suffering from anxiety or depression? It's because we don't understand the mechanism in the brain causing the problem. We draw conclusion. We assume it's a person's fault. But that's why we actually are launching, and I know Catherine Perlon is going to talk in more details about that, a large mental health initiative at Brain Canada, because we want to help better understand what is the molecular mechanism, what causes mental health issue in people, what is driving anxiety or depression in an individual, so that, you know, it becomes fully understood. We all find treatments to help people, but we also alleviate that notion that it is a person's fault and that the person is not strong enough to overcome a feeling of anxiety or depression, to give an example.
If we were to speak, let's say, a decade from now, where are you hoping the research will take us?
What I really, really like is, you know, I really hope is that we start sharing more the knowledge we're generating with the brain. You know, as I said, it's a very complex system. It doesn't only take one individual to understand what is happening in the brain. It really takes a community of researchers. And so to build that, to see that community existing, it does exist already, but to strengthen it and to really see the practice of sharing knowledge and sharing data more and more efficiently being built, so that we really understand the mechanism behind a disease, let's say Parkinson, and then we start developing efficiently from that knowledge, we draw from that knowledge efficient treatments that will halt the cause of the disease and will even reverse the cause of the disease. That's really my you know, that's really what I'm hope will happen. Mm-hmm. Will it take 10 years or 20? I'm not sure, but it is achievable if we join forces.
Absolutely. And if you were to be on an elevator, Dr. Poupon, with someone and have maybe a minute to share why Brain Canada is important to Canadians, what would you say?
I think that Brain Canada is important for Canadians because first, we're changing how brain research is done. We're building a community that will support teams throughout the country to really address challenges from basic research to translational and clinical research. We are making smart investments leading to real breakthrough to have a betting, you know, we're really betting on the best ideas, high risk, high reward research. And we're multiplying the impact of the research funds. We're really trying to get as much from where we invest and to really, once again, build that community and that collaborative mindset where we can really together boost and have as much impact as we can for brain science in Canada.
How did you find yourself in this role of president and CEO at Brain Canada?
It's actually something I enjoyed every day. I'm actually a neuroscientist by training. You know, I worked in the lab and I worked on a disease which is called multiple sclerosis for many years, as well as trying to understand the mechanism behind how brain functions in general and how information comes from one neuron to another. And so, you know, to really try to help as much as I can the research community I'm coming from, it's something that is highly motivating.
It's amazing. I love speaking to you about this. And we've got great guests coming up, of course, today. Lots of different perspectives on Brain Canada. When you think about the work that's being done, how can the average Canadian get involved?
Well, there's many ways of getting involved. You can email us and ask questions of how you can get involved. You actually have a perfect example with two of your guests, you know, Matt and Keenan, who actually put together a fundraiser where the profits are going to come to Brain Canada to support research. We have also, you know, donate on our website page. There's a way to donate, but really for us, what's important is to bring awareness on brain research, the importance of brain research, and how, you know, it can help with the health of Canadians. So anyone can, you know, can help. And just once again, look on our website, contact us. We're here for you.
Excellent. You've totally inspired us today. Dr. Vivian Poupon, President and CEO of Brain Canada. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay with us for An Hour to Give. How often do you think about how our brain works, whether it's mental health or maybe a brain injury or brain disease? We wanted to find out, so that's why we're speaking with Brain Canada today. And we're continuing our conversation, and we're now joined by Dr. Catherine Ferland, Chief Research and Program Officer at Brain Canada. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
I am absolutely fascinated with your research. My understanding is Brain Canada's recent efforts to fund research in mental health has been very exciting. Tell me what's new.
Yes, so we've started, it's been a couple of years now that we are involved in mental health research funding. However, this year, yes, the pandemic has generated additional enthusiasm towards mental health research funding. However, without being opportunistic, because as I mentioned, we started this initiative a couple of years ago, but this time around, we have this great initiative with three major funding programs that will be, actually one was launched at the beginning of the year, so in partnership with Bell Let's Talk. We have two additional ones coming up. So with this initiative, with these three pillars, we aim to fund a broader scope of mental health research. So going from basic science, applied research, moving on to translational research with an integrated knowledge transfer put at the forefront of the research project that will be funded. And we're leading as well with a third program that is clinical research based. Yeah.
It's so important, I think, about COVID-19 and how it's affected the mental health of especially young people, seniors, and really everyone. Is it becoming more and more important to you that this research be undertaken?
Absolutely. And as part of this mental health initiative that we are having right now, there is one component on youth mental health. We now know that anxiety is one of the main burdens in youth. And so we're trying to aim to develop a research platform, not only for researchers, but also for clinicians and people with lived experience and their families to be involved as well. So in the research, but also in the decision making and what is necessary for them, what are the gaps in mental health research?
Yes. I think it's so important, Dr. Ferlin, because when I think about research, we often wonder how that research affects us on our day-to-day lives, right? I think we think about, you know, research labs, but we tend not to think about maybe how that would affect somebody maybe graduating from school or maybe someone starting a new job. How does that affect? How do you, as a researcher, put that in the forefront, how it actually will affect people generations from now?
Absolutely. So research and evidence-based research has demonstrated over the past years that anxiety phase or experience has a negative impact on the genomic of the people. So what we call epigenetics, so changes in the gene of people. So with the current COVID pandemic, there will be long-term impact on the mental health of the Canadian population, let alone the international population as well.
Dr. Ferlin, the combination of neuroscience and mental health, that combination is very important, of course. Why, as Canadians, is that important to us?
So, well, in Canada is actually known to currently spend the lowest proportion of funds on mental health among all the G7 countries. So in the past years, in the past 5 years or so, mental health research funding in Canada has been reduced by an impressive around 20%. Even though mental illnesses, they do account for significantly more years of life lost to disability or early death than, let's say, cancer or cardiovascular diseases. So it has a major impact on Canadian life, especially that neuroscience in research. So we do have animal models mimicking the mental health diseases. However, there are still research lacks in the sense that these animal models to be transferred in the actual clinical human lives. So there is a tremendous work that still needs to be continued or pursued in order to improve the efficacy of treatment, the appropriate treatment, because we cannot also be treating everyone alike. Yes.
What word comes to mind when you think about the research that you're doing every day? What's the first word you think about?
Well, we at Brain Canada, we do see research as a brain being a whole, an organ. So we aim to reach and to help the lives and quality of lives of all Canadians.
It's incredible. You know, you're doing so many different research projects. Which ones stand out for you?
Oh, there's so that's a tricky question because there are several ones. Currently, we do have one. I'm a bit biased because of my personal interest, but we do have one on mental health. Well, this is one of the components on early life in indigenous communities. So it's a pan-Canadian research project that we are partly funding. Yeah, we're very excited about this project.
And you have a number of pillars that you work with as well. What are they?
The pillars, so the research pillars. So we do have an exciting program coming up. So yes, the youth mental health research platform that I mentioned to you about previously, which we aim to gather all the research community across Canada to improve quality of life of youth having mental health issues. So this is one of the pillars. The other one is, yes, the Bell Let's Talk mental health program, which really aims to integrate knowledge into clinical practice. So this is a very exciting program that we have as well. And the third one is really to have neuroscience come into the clinical world. So meaning that we aim to have neuroscience methodological approaches to be efficient and to be developed towards mental health research, which is, it may sound familiar, but it's very less common in research.
Is part of this as well, Dr. Ferland, to really think about the stigma around mental health, and if there's that neuroscience piece to this, that maybe the stigma will be broken down over time?
Absolutely, and we hope for that the stigma will be alleviated with all the research findings and the evidence base that will come out from the actual funded research and novelty of these research programs.
Dr. Ferland, do you remember when you decided to become a researcher? Do you remember that time in your life?
I do, and I was very young, and I had a keen curiosity and an interest to learn and to know how things work.
What would you say to yourself if you could go back to that time?
To continue to continue to go to the evidence and and to share knowledge. And this is how we will move forward with the knowledge.
Is there anything in your own research that has impacted you on a day-to-day basis, that maybe something you've learned that you apply to your everyday?
Research-wise, I don't know, I would say methodologically, yes, rigor. So to never give up, and to, in research, we always say that it has to be, you have to try three times to make it significant, so never give up.
Never give up. That's certainly a good mantra. Absolutely. I'm going to take that away with me today from our time today. You're doing incredible work. What would you say to somebody that's listening and maybe they're thinking about this as a career path for themselves?
To go beyond concrete ideas, to think outside the box, high impact, high reward there is. So to be creative and to be curious about understanding how things work, especially healthcare. Health.
Absolutely, especially healthcare, especially at this time. I've really enjoyed my time with you today. Dr. Catherine Ferland, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom with us today.
Okay, my pleasure. Wisdom, I don't know, but I'm having fun doing what I do.
Well, I can tell, which is what's really important. Thank you so much. Dr. Catherine Ferland, Chief Research and Program Officer at Brain Canada. We're going to learn so much more about Brain Canada. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. We are talking about everything Brain Canada today, and that means we wanted to speak with Dr. Sarah Tremblay, Errol Family Foundation future leader in Canadian brain research. What a pleasure to speak with you, Dr. Tremblay.
It's a pleasure to speak with you as well.
What is your relationship with Brain Canada?
So I was recently a recipient of the Errol Family Foundation, future leader in Canadian brain research, and for which they founded a specific project in which we're developing a new treatment for depression.
You could have taken your career anyway. How come you wanted to study brain research?
That's a very good question. From the start of my young career, so even from the undergrad studies that I did in psychology, I was very interested about the brain, about understanding how our behavior is linked to our brain activity, and this is what brought me to further study neuroscience and neuropsychology, and eventually studying interventions in which we can actually try to modify brain activity to try to develop new treatments.
It's really fascinating. As a researcher, of course, you're always trying to discover new things, but discovering that funding can sometimes be the biggest challenge. That early career funding is really important to a researcher like yourself, isn't it?
Oh, it's so crucial. I mean, oftentimes it's getting that first grant support that is very difficult, because once you get that first support, you can apply to more grants, you get more data, and it all goes from there. So oftentimes it is what can start a career or not.
Let's talk about your research. Where is your focus?
So I'm interested in a specific method that is called repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation. So in short, it is called RTMS. And it's a technique that uses some brief magnetic pulses by which we can modulate brain activity. So using that technique, we can target a specific region of the brain that we know is involved in a disorder. So, for example, we know that certain regions of the brain are more involved in depression than another type of mental health disorder. And we use those magnetic fields to try change activity in that brain region. And this is a treatment that is approved by Health Canada. However, there's still much more to learn about that treatment. So in my research, I'm particularly interested in trying to improve it, trying to make it more efficient, but also trying to identify who's more likely to respond to that treatment versus, let's say, psychotherapy or medication, because we know each individual's brain is very unique and each individual will respond differently to a different treatment. So this is really the main scope of my research.
It's fascinating to me. I've always loved speaking with researchers because I think really, you know, you're sort of being able to work with those things that are going to be really important to us into the future. Where do you see your research heading? How do you think it may impact Canadians in 5, 10, or even 20 years from now?
Well, RTMS is being more and more known and more accessible. Unfortunately, it is not enough accessible at the moment. So my wish with this type of research will be that by improving treatment, making it more efficient, we can have everyone get access to RTMS if they want in Canada, and that it becomes as important as psychotherapy or pharmacology, for example, for treating mental health disorders. And I've been talking about depression, but there's a lot of research going on for other mental health disorders, such as anxiety disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and schizophrenia, and so on. So right now, I'm focusing a little bit more on depression, but the goal would be in 5 to 10 years that we're also able to have specific type of RTMS treatments for different types of mental health disorders, and that it would be freely accessible to Canadians.
Dr. Tremblay, many people have said, you know, throughout this pandemic that they fear a new pandemic of sorts is on its way, and that's a mental health pandemic. We know a lot of Canadians, didn't want to reach out to healthcare people during the pandemic for fear of being in a hospital or for fear of, maybe being in a home where it wasn't supported. How do you feel about where we sort of see the light now in terms of the pandemic? Do you feel that there will be a wave of mental health crisis come our way?
I hope we're able to, I think there will be a wave, and I hope we're able to have more resources and more services provided. I think, as you mentioned, now seeing the light, probably we hope at least that it might help get some people back in a better mental health state. However, I am expecting that there will be a bit more demand. And I think, for example, with teletherapy being more accessible, I think there's some positives that may come out of this pandemic in terms of realizing how important mental health services are to Canadians and how important it is to fund mental health treatments.
I remember about maybe 15 years ago when I certainly started to hear more about mental health. And there was a doctor that was speaking at an event I was at, and they said, you know, with everything that can go wrong with our bodies, why don't we think that all of those things can go wrong as well with our brains? And that was really one of those moments that sort of made me sit back in my chair and say, really, that makes sense to me. But there's such stigma, as we've talked about a little bit earlier on the show, around mental health. The hope, of course, is that your research and the work of Brain Canada, especially in the area of mental health, helps to break down some of that stigma.
Yes, and it's so important to break down the stigma, and the more research there would be on how the brain is involved in mental health disorders, I think the more we will be able to break that stigma, the more we hear about this type of research, because I think there's a lot going on in the background, like there's a lot going on in some scientists' labs. But it's important, I think, for the population to hear about that research and to understand that, yes, there are environmental factors that can be involved in mental health disorders, but the key to treating mental health disorders is treating the brain. And it's very hard to control how our brain can react to things. So we need external help. We need those treatments available oftentimes to be able to overcome some difficult times.
Absolutely. Dr. Tremblay, as we mentioned off the top, you've been named Future Leader in Canadian Brain Research. That's quite a heavy title. That's a lot of responsibility. Do you feel that responsibility, Dr. Tremblay?
Well, I think it's an honor to get that title. I don't feel the load of the responsibility. I think hopefully I'm able to do my part, and I know that there's so many good leaders in Canadian brain research as well, but it definitely is an honor to be given that title, and I'm very excited to start the project. We are starting it now because there's been some delays because of COVID, but I'm very excited to share our results when we have them available, and hopefully would help a little bit to understand better how we can treat depression.
It definitely is an honor, and I'm definitely honored to speak with you. Let's talk about, Dr. Tremblay, how important it is that we have female researchers. I think it's one of those things that maybe decades ago we weren't seeing. How important is it for the research team that it be well-rounded in terms of females and males working together?
That's a very good point. I think it is super important. Definitely, it is changing. The landscape is changing. In the field where I'm working, there used to be more male researchers than females. I think we're coming close to parity in that domain. But I think it is very, very important to give voices to also female researchers and to break a little bit the prototype of the male scientist, and that there is so many great female scientists doing research doing brain research in Canada. And it's, again, it's an honor to be able to be, to speak like this in the media and talk a little bit more about the what I'm doing.
For sure. You know, it's been said mental health can be very isolating, and ironically, we're all coming through a time right now where many of us felt isolated from our friends and our family. There's sort of an interesting irony in that, in terms of mental health feeling very isolating as well. What would you say to somebody maybe that is living with depression or anxiety? What words of hope can you give them today?
I would say to not hesitate to get the help, any help that you can get, and talk to your peers, talk to someone that are close to you about the struggles. You may realize that other people have the same struggle. So I think right now we're going through a global crisis, and oftentimes we just talking about what we feel and what we're going through, and seeing that we're not alone, that have those feelings, can really go a long way. But definitely seek out help. I think with teletherapy right now, it's becoming more and more easy to get that first step and to talk to someone, even if it's only a few minutes on the phone. And yeah, just to not hesitate to do it, and things will get better.
Of course, we know we can head to braincanada.ca, lots of great information there. Is there any highlights there for your research?
Yes, I believe there is some highlights on the RTMS research I've been doing, and the project that has been funded. Otherwise, the hospital where I'm working is the Royal Institute of Mental Health Research in Ottawa, and on the website there are more details about my research.
I have loved our talk today. Dr. Sarah Tremblay from the Errol Family Foundation, future leader in Canadian brain research, of course, representing Brain Canada. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. You will be inspired by our next guests here on An Hour to Give. Do not miss it. Stay with us. Today on An Hour to Give, we have featured Brain Canada, and our discussions continue. We've been speaking about mental health, brain disease, and brain injuries, and I'm warning you, you're going to be inspired by our next two guests, and they are Matt Filio and Keegan Delabaugh. How are you both?
We're doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Let's start with you, Matt. You came up with an idea, and I want to hear about it, and of course, how it benefits Brain Canada.
Yeah, so the idea is, there's kind of like an overarching idea, and then the idea that we're working on with Brain Canada. So the overarching idea is something that Keegan and I have partnered up to do, and it's called the GRIT Project. So essentially the idea is to find many different challenges that push me way outside of my comfort zone and kind of challenge me and force me to grow and find these type 2 fun type challenges. I'm not sure if you're familiar with type 2 fun at all. It's kind of a funny concept, but we could chat about that later. So that's kind of the overview of what the GRIT Project is, and how kind of Brain Canada ties into this is with the Century Walk. So that was our first challenge that we came up with for the GRIT Project, and the idea was to walk 100 kilometers in under 24 hours. And we kind of partner up with a campaign that spoke to us, and Brain Canada has a really great campaign in terms of mental health, and this is kind of how it all came to be, and Brain Canada has been really great with us so far.
That's great. Keegan, this is a really exciting initiative. What role do you play?
Yes, hi, Sam. So when Matt first approached me, he was really approaching me for my technology skills. I've always been very interested in video editing and just computers in general. So, you know, right away his idea was he wanted to film these and make sort of a mini docuseries on YouTube. And so that's where I kind of come in. You know, I'm the cameraman and his challenge organizer, we could call it, and do the video editing and whatnot. So, you know, really just all around operations and handling the video work.
And I have to ask you, Matt, when you think about walking 100 kilometers in less than 24 hours, I understand you did that recently. What was that like?
There's probably a lot that goes into that answer. In the moment, it was terrible. It was definitely not enjoyable whatsoever, but that's exactly what we expected. And in hindsight, looking back at the event, it was an absolutely incredible experience. There was a lot of suffering, a lot of sore feet, just boredom. It's a very long time to be walking and not doing anything in particular. But all in all, when I look back on it, that's kind of exactly what that type 2 fun really is. It's not enjoyable in the moment. It's actually quite the opposite. And, in hindsight, in retrospect, it's something that turns out to be one of the more memorable experiences. And you look back at it with a sense of joy, so to speak. So that's basically exactly what it was. We had a lot of ups and downs throughout this. Early on in the walk, my feet started kind of blowing up. I chose the wrong shoes to start off with. And early on, I was getting a lot of hot spots, which, I knew in the moment was going to affect me later on down the road. But I had to try and focus on different things. And it was really an interesting experience in terms of like how to play the short game and the long game all at once.
So interesting. Keegan, what was it like to see Matt go through those struggles? Was it hard to watch?
No, it was a lot of fun, actually. We had a lot of fun. Matt, he's a really resilient guy, but right when we're in the thick of things, both of our personalities, we kind of just resort to humor to lighten the mood. So, we work really well hand in hand. But it was really fun seeing him do the walk from start to finish, watching him prepare for it and go through kind of the mental gymnastics of how he's going to get through it and what the hardest points are going to be. I was organizing where the walk is going to take place, exactly how long it would be, where he would stop and take his rests, and really just organizing the logistics of everything. How was I going to follow him to film it, really? We worked on it a lot. I created 20 checkpoints for Matt. Some of those areas he was stopping a rest, like he was mentioning that his feet were acting up a little bit in the first quarter. So, I'd meet him at the next checkpoint and get him shoes or food or whatever he'd like. And really the most difficult part was through the middle of the night. We were both having a pretty rough go. We just powered right through. Neither of us slept a lot.
And Brain Canada is just such an interesting twist to this story. How important was that for you, Matt, to be connected with them at really the heart of this work that you're doing?
Definitely hit home because, we chose mental health to begin with because it did speak to us. I've had personal experiences with mental health issues over the past, and I just wanted to make sure that we were able to partner up with a company that was able to meet us where we were at and kind of help us do some of the legwork in terms of like raising the funds, raising awareness. And again, they've been absolutely amazing, and Keegan has been really great organizing the entire thing.
Keegan, what would you want people to know about this experience, and how can they get involved?
They can get involved by supporting the cause, really. We've set up a fundraising page on AKA Raisin through Brain Canada. Really, that's what we want, to raise awareness about mental health. Everybody at some point in their lives go through, depression or anxiety or other mental health issues. And, it really shouldn't be such a stigmatic topic to talk about if everybody experiences that at some point or another. And that's really what we want to nail home, especially now with COVID and the quarantine. Mental health issues, they're more prevalent than ever. And so, we really wanted to get out there and make a difference, and everybody else can make a difference too. Mm-hmm. They can help, by going to our fundraising page and donating, they can help us get the money to Brain Canada so that they can do the important legwork of, you know, the research and finding ways to improve upon people's lives as it relates to mental health.
I think Keegan makes a really good point, Matt, about mental health and people talking about it. And then you sort of layer the lens over that men are talking about it. That often is unheard of in many areas of the world. Is that another reason why it was so important for you two to take on this project?
I think it was just really important to make it become a more spoke about topic in general. Yeah, whether it's men, women, children, it doesn't really matter. People should be able to feel open and not have any fear regarding speaking up about what they're struggling with. And, you know, as Keegan said, especially with COVID going on and, you know, all these extra isolations, lockdown, stuff like that, people really are more isolated than they've ever been. And it's, you know, it really does play an effect on how we cope as humans, as we are, you know, a species that likes to be around other people and have conversations and all that good stuff. So, I just saw this as a great opportunity. We wanted to do these challenges regardless. And, you know, why not bring awareness to something that really does need more attention? And this was a perfect opportunity for us to stand up and kind of lead the charge in a way. And we felt like this was our calling in a sense, not to sound too cheesy, but it seemed kind of perfect for us in the moment and gave us a little bit of extra initiative. So, you know, when going back to looking at the walk itself, the Century Walk, this gave me so much more momentum, so much more incentive to push through those challenging moments when I knew that I was doing it for a more important cause than just for myself to grow, for myself to improve and seek these challenges. It was really an opportunity for me to step up and kind of lead the charge and be the change that we're looking for.
And Keegan, what are you hoping to achieve through this project?
You know, a little bit of the same. Matt's the one that's doing the challenges, obviously, but that doesn't mean that I can't grow myself just through awareness. And, you know, maybe at some point I'll jump in there and try one of these with them. It just, it creates additional challenges that I'll have to think about in terms of filming and whatnot. But, you know, Matt and myself, we've gone through very similar journeys over the past few years. You know, we've both done complete 180s. And so this definitely is an opportunity for myself to grow too. I just have to, you know, find a way for me to kind of throw myself in the fire, so to speak, with Matt while maintaining what we're trying to accomplish in terms of documenting the whole process.
Mm-hmm. And Matt, someone might be listening right now. Maybe they're struggling with their mental health. What would you say to them?
I would say that seeking challenges and finding a way to get uncomfortable and push through your discomfort is a great way to overcome insecurities, overcome self-doubt. I found that when I was in my deepest state of anxieties, depression, and when I was struggling with it the most, the one thing that helped me surpass these things were to find different ways to get out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me start to build a sense of self-respect. And that just kind of compounded with the more things that I had done to escape my comfort zone and push myself into areas that initially did scare me, but helped me grow. So this project really, really means a lot to me because it is something that I have found that helps me mentally. And I know that this is the type of stuff that can help people across the world as well. So somebody's listening, struggling with mental health stuff, one of the first things I would suggest is find something that's within your reach that is just a little bit outside of your comfort zone and start with that and start moving forward from there and do your best to not feel so stuck in the moment and try and see ahead as much as you possibly can and really work to push through and grow.
Great advice. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed my time with both of you. Matt Filio and Keegan Dillabaugh, thank you so much for everything you're doing for Brain Canada. And thank you, everyone, for listening to An Hour to Give. I know you've been inspired today. Certainly reach out to Brain Canada. Have a great weekend, everyone.